Chapter 5. Turin in Doriath. In the years of his childhood in the kingdom of Doriath, Turin was watched over by Melian, though he saw her seldom. But there was a maiden named Nellas, who lived in the woods, and at Melian's bidding she would follow Turin if he strayed in the forest, and often she met him there, as it were by chance. Then they played together, or walked hand in hand, for he grew swiftly, whereas she seemed no more than a maiden of his own age, and was so in heart for all her elven years. From Nellas, Turin learned much concerning the ways and the wild things of Doriath, and she taught him to speak the Sindarin tongue after the manner of the ancient realm, older and more courteous and richer in beautiful words. Thus for a little while his mood was lightened, until he fell again under shadow, and that friendship passed like a morning of spring. For Nellas did not go to Menegroth, and was unwilling ever to walk under roofs of stone, so that as Turin's boyhood passed, and he turned his thoughts to deeds of men, he saw her less and less often, and at last called for her no more. But she watched over him still, though now she remained hidden. 9 years Turin dwelt in the halls of Menegroth, his heart and thought turned ever to his own kin, and at times he had tidings of them for his own comfort. For Thingol sent messengers to Morwen as often as he might, and she sent back words for her son. Thus Turin heard that Morwen's plight was eased, and that his sister Nienor grew in beauty, a flower in the grey north. And Turin grew in stature, until he became tall among men, and surpassed that of the elves of Doriath, and his strength and hardihood were renowned in the realm of Thingol. In those years he learned much lore, hearing eagerly the histories of ancient days and great deeds of old, and he became thoughtful and sparing in speech. Often Beleg's strong bow came to Menegroth to seek him, and led him far afield, teaching him woodcraft and archery, and, which he liked more, the handling of swords. But in crafts of making he had less skill, for he was slow to learn his own strength, and often marred what he made with some sudden stroke. In other matters also it seemed that fortune was unfriendly to him, so that often what he designed went awry, and what he desired he did not gain. Neither did he win friendship easily, for he was not merry, and laughed seldom, and a shadow lay on his youth. Nonetheless, he was held in love and esteem by those who knew him well, and he had honour as the fosterling of the king. Yet there was one in Doriath that begrudged him this, and ever the more as Turin drew nearer to manhood. Cyros was his name. He was proud, dealing haughtily with those whom he deemed of lesser state and worth than himself. He became a friend of Dairon the minstrel, for he also was skilled in song, and he had no love for men, and least of all for any kinsman of Beren One Hand. "This is not strange," said he, "that this land should be open to yet another of this unhappy race. Did not the other do harm enough in Doriath?" Therefore he looked askance at Turin, and on all that he did, saying what ill he could of it. But his words were cunning, and his malice failed. If he met with Turin alone, he spoke haughtily to him, and showed plain his contempt, and Turin grew weary of him, though for long he returned ill words with silence. For Cyros was great among the people of Doriath, and a counsellor of the king. But the silence of Turin displeased Cyros as much as his words.